So today, our gospel passage will be coming from the gospel, for the honor of the reading, the gospel passage. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who is from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. And whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing here heard it and said it was a thunder. And others said, "An angel has spoken to him." And Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, where I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be God. You may be seated. Well, again, welcome to our new worship space here at Intersection. I just want to take this brief moment before my message just to thank everybody on our volunteer teams and praise band that worked tirelessly to get this place set up. And so I just want to give you some appreciation right now and thank y'all. We had a wonderful team also of architects and contractors, lay members on trustees and various other committees that have spent many hours over the past couple of years planning this very moment out. And so this is a special moment for our church and also a opportunity for us to glorify God and all that he does, because this, what we do right here, is for him and not for us. And so if anything, that just shows us right now that our God is still alive in our community here, still moving in ways that we cannot even think of. And so in this moment, this should give us courage that whatever challenges we face in our life, that God will prevail, and we share in that victory because we are his. And so in this moment today, I think it's appropriate that we look at the passage from John, what Jesus is telling us here in some of his final moments of his earthly ministry as he gets ready to go towards Holy Week and Palm Sunday. And so I want to kind of just talk to you about a few things that are going on here. But in your life, have you ever wished for something better? I know I have, right? We've all wished for something better. We've all thought that if we would get just one more, this thing that we want that's better, that our life would be complete. Things would be easier. Well, I have a funny little story I want to tell you. About the last Wednesday Night Live, we did a big special focus on Honduras missions, the way St. Matthew's is sharing the life-changing love and grace there in Honduras through our foreign mission team and through our missionary, Eddie Deichley. And we got to see wonderful pictures and hear wonderful testimonies about God's work in Honduras. And I have been to Honduras a couple of times on the mission trip. And there's one thing that that they used to do when I would go on the trip is that whoever was going as the clergy person for the trip from St. Matthew's would co-preach with one of the local preachers in a bilingual service on one of the first nights there. And so I remember going down there to Honduras one year, and our senior pastor at the time was given the message. And that's quite the challenge, because you're speaking in English and they interpret what you say, and then their preacher will preach something and interpret it back into English. And so you can see there might be some kind of ways where wires would get crossed on the interpretations. And so our senior pastor started off his message with a big fiery proclamation of like, "Who in here wants a better life?" And the interpreter said their thing in Spanish. And then all the men in the congregation stood up and were like, "Oh, oh, oh." And all the women and children are looking kind of angry. And then we figured out what the interpreter said. He didn't say, "Who in here wants a better life?" He said, "Who in here wants a better wife?" And all the men got real excited about this American pastor going to promise them better wives by following Jesus Christ. So they got real excited, and everybody else got a little disgruntled. And that's just part of the fun that happens when you go to Honduras and the language barriers. But yes, you know, some of us in our lifetime will think, you know, if we have a better car, my life would just be that much easier. I'd get to work better, it'd be safer. Or if I had a better job, you know, in my life, it would be more money and more security for my family, better work-life balance. Or hey, you know, if I had a better home to take care of my family, it would just be just right. Or if I had just enough money in the bank, or if my health was top-notch. And so we have all these thoughts in our lives about, you know, if we just got this one extra thing, it would be better. And so what do? Well, we go and buy these self-help books on how to be financially fit in 3 steps. We go and figure out how to sell our house and get the most money for it so we can buy the next house that's bigger in a better location and better schools. You know, we strategize with our careers on how to step up the ladder and get into a better position in our jobs. So we're constantly thinking about how we can take those next steps to better ourselves and our lives. And many people also think, you know what? If I can go to church every Sunday morning and go to Sunday school and serve on that one committee and do that one special mission trip and teach Sunday school, Jesus is going to fix my life. Have you thought that? I mean, I have. We hear a lot of preachers preach about it, right? That Jesus can fix your life. That if you follow him, it's all good. But you see, we have the mindset of going back to, you know, if we do this for Jesus, if we go to church, if we go to Sunday school, and if we do this and do that, it's like the self-help book. Jesus is a self-help book. He's like a genie in the bottle. He'll grant us our wishes if we'll just do what he says. But we also know, many of us have lived life long enough, right, that sometimes things don't go the way you want to, even though you're faithful. You don't get the job, even though you went to church and prayed about it. Your sickness did not go away, even though you prayed about it. You didn't get X, Y, Z, even though you went to church and you asked God about it, and you're a good person. And it complicates it even more, right? When we see other people who don't seem to be doing what we think they should, but they get what they want, right? It just doesn't make sense. We can't rationalize it sometimes. And so I think in this passage today, and what we look at in the season of Lent, is like, what do we wrestle with in our faith? What do we wrestle with? You know, we looked at wrestling with culture and wrestling with spirituality and pride and all these things. But sometimes we have to wrestle with dying to ourselves and what we would want, and doing what we want to do because we think it's right, but dying for Christ. And that is a struggle that I think we face, because it's not easy to die to ourselves, especially in our culture and context. We think we can fix it all if we just follow these steps. But sometimes we need to die to what we want to do, what we want, and die for what Jesus wants us to do. And now that's what we wrestle with, many of us. That is what makes this faith thing we do difficult when we have to wrestle against those things. And so in the passage today, what we see is Jesus coming back from being anointed by Mary. That very intimate moment there where she gave all that she had to anoint him as he enters into his final moments of his earthly ministry. And he has to now enter into Jerusalem because the festival that's mentioned here in the 20th verse is the Passover, where we've talked about this before. There's a lot happening in Jerusalem and in the lead up to this moment. But Jesus knows this is the moment for which he's being prepared for. That now that his hour has finally come, and everything he says, everything he does is incredibly important for his disciples and for us to even take hold of. Because, you know, for people who have the gift of knowing of when their time is going to expire, usually their final moments are very intentional in what they want to share with those that they're going to leave behind temporarily. And Jesus is here in that moment knowing that his time has come and he is going to leave us with these actions and words. So everything is so incredibly important. And so this is part of his final public discourse as he gets ready to move into Palm Sunday and to the more private moments with his disciples before he is handed over. And so when you have here that among those who went to worship at the festival were some of the Greeks, some of the non-Jews, they were there. They were intrigued by all that was happening and intrigued by this message of Jesus Christ and the attention that he was getting. And so some of them came to the disciples. They came to Philip and they said, "Sir, we'd like to see Jesus." They know he's here. They would like to see him. They'd like to hear from him. And so Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went to Jesus. And then Jesus said, "You know what? The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And I'm sure they're like, "Oh, Jesus, you're giving us another parable. Can you just tell us straight? What do you mean?" And he continues, he says, "Those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I go, there will be my servant also. And whoever serves me, the Father will honor." You know, one of the parables I like is the one of the rich young ruler. Of when he goes to Jesus and says, "You know, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And he looks at him, he says, "You know what? You need to give all that you have away, give it all away to those in need, and then you can inherit eternal life." And the rich young ruler walked away sad. Now, we don't know if he actually followed through and gave everything away. I would like to be hopeful that eventually he would. But you know what? Sometimes the work that we do, if we truly die to ourselves and where we are today, each, every one of us, the work that we do for the kingdom of God can be very challenging in this community of Madison County. And let me expand upon that. Imagine you were sent to the gates of a big neighborhood. You name one. There's hundreds. And you're going to go knocking on door to door, inviting them to this church, this faith community, and say, "Guess what? We want you to be part of our faith family, but you know what you got to do? Part of what you got to do is you got to die to yourself. So what you worked really hard for to obtain this whatever you have, you're going to have to die to Christ, and he may even put the special calling on your life to give it all up for him." Now, if you kept up with how many people would say, "Oh yeah, sure, I'll come and be at church," and if they come, those that don't come, it would be a hard message for people to swallow. It's a hard message for us to swallow for what we want to do. And so our mission field in Madison may be a lot more difficult than if you were sent over to the streets to some third world country where you said, "Hey, guess what? You can give up all that you have here and come follow me in Jesus and you'll have a better life." And they would probably be more willing to do so. In our area, we have so much. We are blessed with so much. But are we giving it back to God? Are we dying to ourselves and what we think we ought to do with all of these blessings, allowing God to guide us in what he wants us to do? And I can guarantee you if we did that, it'd be a difficult road, but a road full of many unforeseen blessings. And so when Jesus is sitting here talking to his disciples and saying, "Look, like this grain, it will not bear any fruit. But if it remains and if it follows and if you follow me, if you love your God and love your neighbor and give it all, then truly you'll have the eternal life that we will all enjoy." And so then Jesus continues on saying, "Now my soul is troubled for what I say. Father, save me from this hour. No, it is this reason that I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice from heaven came and said, "I have glorified it. I will glorify it again." And the crowds heard it and it sounded like thunder. And others said this was an angel that has spoken. And Jesus said, no, the voice comes for your sake, not for mine. You see, Jesus, his sacrifice, what he did was not for his sake, but it was for us, the children of God. What Jesus did in his ministry, what he taught, sacrifices he paid, he did it because God loves you. He did it for our sake, because we are not able to save ourselves. If we were able to save ourselves, and Jesus and this whole season of Lent would not have been necessary, we would have figured it out. If we would have been able to do our own salvation, then there's no need for this, right? But we can't. We're broken. But yet, we are made whole through Jesus Christ. We are not forgotten. We don't receive the punishments that we deserve. And so when we go through this season of Lent, we reflect in each and every one of our personal lives. We reflect on our relationship to God. We reflect on our relationship with others. We reflect on the blessings that we have or what we have in this moment. And we say, Lord, we give it all to you. We give it all to you. Show us and lead us in your way. One of my favorite quotes that I heard from a pastor, United Methodist pastor, said, God gives us the gift of free will. We can make our own choices. But the reason why he gives us free will is so that we can freely give it back. And that's hard. It's hard. Because in my life, I like to fix things. I like to control outcomes. I like to have everything nice and steady. I mean, I get the name of my house as Budget Brian for a reason, okay? I get told that lovingly a lot because I like to control and make things safe the way I want to make them safe. And I have to remind myself in my life, my ministry, my relationships that, you know what, Brian? You need to let God take control. You need to let him lead. And you follow, and you become that ambassador to Christ that others will come through how you act and how you love. Because the way that we love God, the way that we give it all back to him is how we show the world the awesomeness of the Creator we worship. Of why we renovated this facility so that way we can worship him and give it all back to him. As I said earlier, this is not for us. This is for God. For him to be glorified, for the broken world out there to see that it is okay to give it back to him. And yeah, it's risky. Yeah, it can be scary. There are countless stories in Scripture of people who followed God, but they were scared. Stories of people who would try to run from God. We can relate to that. But in the end, we know who wins. In the end, we know we get to share in that victory. And so I think this is important for us. I think this is an important passage, an important time for us. What in your life do you need to give up? What in your life do you need to give up that is keeping you from our Lord, from answering your calling in this moment? What is our church holding on to that it needs to give up? What parts need to be pruned so that we can flourish and grow in him? So we can show the world how awesome he really is. Because as I said, our whole culture here in America is so much about self-identity, pulling yourself up by the bootstraps, sucking it up, acting like everything's fine. You know what? Sometimes everything's not fine. Sometimes you may have a good facade of like, I've got this under control, but you really don't. You know, one of the things that I heard, you know, our church has various ministries. And one of the ministries I'm one of the most proud of that we have is that we host an AA group that meets here every day of the week, sometimes twice a day, one of the largest in the areas. And that's one of the ministries that I'm a liaison to. So every now and then I'll go to one of their meetings and I'll say, hey guys, I'm Brian, one of the pastors here. I'm just going to sit in with your meeting if you're okay with that and let you know that I'm here. If you need a church family or want questions, I'm here for you. You're not alone if you got faith questions. And in one of the sessions, I heard somebody said, as they were giving their testimony of working through their addiction, they said, whenever you hear somebody who is battling something, and they just start saying, no, I don't need help, I got this, red flag. When people start saying, I got this, do you really? Because you need to think about what God is calling for you to do first. Is saying, no, I don't got this. God, I give it to you. Show me what you need me to do. I am following you. And as Jesus here is talking to his disciples, he is talking to the crowds around him as he gets ready for the crucifixion, he is telling the audience, God is going to be glorified through what is about to happen. I know this, but this is being told to you for your sake. And that if you are to have this eternal life and to share in this, you need to give it up for him. You need to die to yourself, and you need to embrace the love and grace of God. And there are many things that I think our church does that's awesome. We are very much an outreachy church. I think we're a church that's big on relationships, that understands that life is messy, that we all have our broken roads and will continue. But what keeps us going each and every day is the love of God. And I think we do a really good job of reaching out into our community and sharing that love because they need that too. So it will be difficult, church, as we embrace God's calling on us, as we repent and focus on him in the season of Lent as an individual, but as a church family, know that this is going to be a difficult journey. There's going to be bumps in the road. But at the end, it's going to be all right because we worship an amazing God who defeated death on the cross, who saved us from ourselves and reconciled him to his love. It's going to be okay. It's not going to be easy, but we don't do it for ourselves. We do it for our God, and we do it for the world to see, and we do it for our neighbors. So my prayer for us, my prayer for the church, my prayer for you and for me is that we remember this message, is that when we wrestle with ourselves and what we want to do, we need to say, wait a minute, just stop. Just stop. Lord God, show me the way. Show me the way.